Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community, brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and
I'm Christina Schulman. Today, we are talking with Aaron Montgomery from My Success Group, and we are so excited to have him here. He has been in the industry of, teaching and podcasting and business and whatnot for quite some time. So we're super excited to have him. Aaron, if you don't mind, if you'll just kind of jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business and then kind of how your life interweaves in with that too.
Yeah, totally. Oh, thanks so much for the opportunity. Yeah, my business is called Our Success Group, and we started in January 2020 with that training side of it. So it's all about business training. For me personally, I've been in the, industry you want to call it. I call it the garment decorating industry, t-shirt printers, that kind of thing, sublimation, personalized products, promotional products, all sorts of stuff like that. I got started back in 2000 and have been involved in all sorts of different areas of this industry. I kind of always joke about the industry being a little bit like Hotel California, where you can never leave. And I love it. It's been just fantastic. The people are great. So I've done everything from sell equipment and supplies on to having my own decorating business. And now into this new iteration where I'm in part of this community of people that are learning and growing in the business side of things. We want to help people get from wherever they're at to their idea of success. And we've kind of seen, in the 20 plus years that I've been in this industry, I've seen things that kind of stand out, like, okay, these people are doing this and they seem to be doing well, or the conversations I've been able to have. So 9 years ago on a whim, we started a podcast called the Two Regular Guys Podcast. And that was really just an excuse to talk to my best friend who I was moving away from. I moved to St. Louis for work and he was still in Arizona, and we worked together and we said, hey, let's talk about some decorating stuff, just like we used to do at the bars at the trade shows, right? And then it turned into this, actually going to be starting our 10th season in February. So it's been a fun ride and just all about kind of growing into that, the sharing and everybody helping each other. I've just noticed that so much in our industry that I wanted to be more involved and more part of that, which led me actually to becoming a Jack Canfield Success Principles. If you're not familiar with Jack Canfield, you maybe have heard of the book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Yeah. He's one of the co-authors of that. And he wrote this other book called The Success Principles. And about 3 years ago, my wife and I went to a seminar that he had put on. And she said, hey, you should become a trainer. I said, okay, what are you crazy? And she said, no, this would be perfect for you. And so I said, okay. And so I did. And then I talked her into becoming a trainer too. And so now we are both Success Principles certified trainers. And that's where she kind of came into this business. So she's got a decorating business of her own, but she's also very into the mindset side of things. She's a yoga instructor and just a really amazing, wonderful person that I am lucky to get to share my life with. And so that's how we kind of came together. We said, hey, how can we do more together? So she participates in helping our success group. We do some workshops together and just bringing both of our personalities together. She's the shy, kind of more quiet type. And as you can tell, I'll talk all day if you let me. So.
Well, I think that works at least in my marriage too. We hang, but we also mesh together well. We balance each other out. And I think that brings a good perspective and helps you guys grow together. And
the whole opposites attract thing.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of joke that we're the teacher preacher combo. She's the teacher, I'm the preacher. So what was
that? I like it. I like it a lot.
In my marriage, I'm the gas and he's the brake.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like, let's keep going. And he's like, well, wait a second. Let's think it through. Let's see where, think all the steps out. He's got the very engineer mind and it's helped us grow both sides, I think. So he's, I'm sure, going to listen to this and laugh a little bit and be like, yeah, she's right about that. So Aaron and his wife are both going to be teaching at Everything Embroidery Market in April. And I'm so excited about that. As you guys know, I am new to owning the trade show itself. Yeah. And I'm so super stoked. At the last show, we had several people kind of jump in and offer some feedback that was like, hey, this is really good what you're offering, but I'm just starting my business and I want to learn to grow it, or I've started it, but I don't know the business side because we're creative and I'm struggling with how to grow just the business side, right? The marketing, yep, the numbers, the organization, all those things that come with having a business when you're having to move from being a just creative person doing something as a hobby to now having to do it to make money and still enjoy it. You know, how do I do that? And so Aaron and his wife are going to jump in and teach several classes just on those things. And I'm so super excited about each one of them. I don't know, the descriptions and whatnot that are going to be just gone through in those classes, I think are going to be a goldmine for you guys that are either starting out or even just refreshing your business moving forward. So I'm super excited about that. So when you teach, what is one of your very favorite things to teach and why? Tell me why.
Well, I'm a big business planning person. And I think I felt like in our industry, that business planning is not really, I don't know, it's almost like a dirty word a little bit.
Yes.
And I want to change that because maybe business plan, the name has bad PR. They need to hire a better advertising agency or something. But the whole part of business planning is not really the whole tedious, oh my God, I can write all this stuff down. I have to do spreadsheets and all that stuff. You know, yes, that can be part of it. But really what business planning is all about is this opportunity to create what you want in your mind first, and then set yourself up this guardrail to help you kind of move forward and not go falling off one side of the cliff or the other because you're just winging it, right? And that's what I saw in these years that I got to do this is all these folks, all these great ideas, creativity. You know, that's one of the things I love about this industry is so many creative people. But then, like you said, getting into a business needs to be a little bit more process, a little bit more, you know, let's make this repeatable. It's great to make this cool, awesome. Yep. Streamline. Perfect. All those words. And so I love teaching people how this process can be really beneficial, but also not that scary. It's not, you know, this overwhelming thing. It really boils down to being, hey, let's put some key things down on paper so that we can share that with other people, get feedback, and then start taking some action steps to move forward and create what we want to create and not have to kind of hope that somebody else is going to show up or some customer is going to show up on my doorstep. You get a plan together and then you move forward. So that's my very favorite thing to teach is that side of it first and foremost.
So being intentional. And
yeah.
I think that's a really hard thing, at least for me sometimes. Hope knows I jump in sometimes and I have all these big old plans and ideas, again, the gas and not the brake. And I need that structure to make sure we end up where we need to end up versus me going on all my little side tracks that happen sometimes.
Well, I think that's just a creative brain. Like, I have all these ideas and now I need to harness them and figure out really where our goal is and what's our end game. Like, okay, here's the idea, but where are we trying to get to with it? And how do we make that business plan? How do we make that part succeed?
Exactly.
And it's with a lot of creative people, it's all the ideas and it's hard to make that into something.
Yeah. Yeah. And really the word you use there, harness, I think is perfect word because we no way want to kind of stifle the creativity,
right?
You know, we want to continue to see that grow. But what happens is creativity actually gets stifled because you have all these grandiose things and then they don't pan out the way you maybe envision them at first, because there wasn't, again, that action, that progress forward. You know, we all want to, like, you know, become overnight success. And reality is nobody's an overnight success. Even the people that we look out there at and say, oh man, they just hit this thing and they're an overnight success. They put in tons of work that nobody ever sees, nobody is ever going to hear about. And so we just have to understand, hey, if we set up this thing in such a way that we have little actionable steps that we can take along the way, we're giving ourselves the best chance for success. And then that actually grows the creativity, because as you move along that journey, now new possibilities are coming into your realm, and it becomes really exciting. But I feel like it's kind of my job to get people excited about the journey and that process of building their business plan and the other mindset pieces that go around with that. So.
Yeah. And I think that you touched on a hot button for a lot of people a minute ago. You said you want to get them excited. Everyone's that I've talked to, when they're coming to these classes, it's because they're not excited, yeah. But they can be. Yes. And I think we just need to learn to think about things a little bit different, change your mindset a bit, and get excited about some of the things that maybe aren't easy to us, that don't come naturally to us.
Yeah.
But if you look at it as a way to grow your business versus like something I just have to do, and that now I get to be more creative because I was intentional about the things that I did. Now you can step back and grow some of that excitement versus yeah. just being like, oh my gosh, I have to do my numbers today. I have to, you know, think about how I'm going to market this, or, you know, the things you have to do in business. So I think that's kind of a cool way to just change your mindset. So once you guys decided to become your success coaches, how did that business evolve from before to now?
Yeah, totally. I appreciate you asking that. Now, I'd love to, as I just sat here and talked about this business plan, and yes, I do have a business plan, but again, I also want to keep it open. We want to evolve. We want to grow. It's not about being set and structured specifically. It's about making sure that I'm not missing anything that's going to come at me and really get me. So the evolution of this was kind of interesting. It all started off with, like I said, we went to this seminar and I was just at a place in my life. I'd been working for some other companies and everything was great. I was really truly blessed, but I just didn't really feel like I was fulfilled to a certain point. And so that's when, for my birthday, actually, my wife got me signed up for that seminar and I talked her into coming along with. And so, because I was scared, right? And I needed somebody to hold my hand. And this person's going to ask me to actually do something. It's going to be hard, right? Anyhow, what happened is, so we did that and it just all kind of happened to work out really well, because at the same time I was going, okay, what is there it can do? I was doing the podcasting a little bit, but was still working for some other people. And while I love that, like I said, I wasn't fulfilled. I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do a seminar. I'd been teaching people some stuff through the podcast and some other things. I'm going to do my own seminar. And I just happened to run into a gentleman at a trade show, Todd Downing, who helped me co-found our success group. And we started talking about this and he supported me. He said, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to get 30 people signed up by, and we picked a date and the whole thing. I'm like, oh crap, now I actually have to do this. and it worked. It was like, oh gosh, that's kind of fun. And then, so, you know, because nobody had anything really going on in 2020, right? There was nothing happening that nobody was concerned about in 2020.
Nope. It was a boring year.
Yeah. So I decided to start a business and quit my day job at the same time. So that was scary and fun. But yeah, our success group was born from that. It has evolved quite a bit. We are always about feedback and just listening to feedback. And what we discovered, and the feedback we were getting, was that we were kind of feeding people information and it started to get overwhelmed, right? That people didn't feel creative or excited because they're overwhelmed is what I've discovered. And so somebody told me it was like feeding them information, like drinking water through a fire hose.
And, wow. It's a good analogy. I see that. Yeah.
That's, so we kind of evolved from there and realized that, okay, let's back up on the information and really ratchet up the action, because that's what we discovered. There's tons of great information, tons of great people teaching and sharing out there, but none of this information is any good until you actually take action on it and put it into work in your business, your life, whatever you need to do. So we changed it. So this year it's all about action. We've got implementation meetings, we've got mastermind groups, and it's been really fun to evolve with the community too. So that's been really exciting for us.
So that's something, listening to your customer has been huge for my business as well. And that's actually why we reached out to you in the first place, because if you, as a business owner, it's your job to be the, I guess, to know what your customer wants and then provide it if you can. Right. And I just kept hearing the same thing. It wasn't like, I don't like your classes, and everyone loves all these classes. Yeah. Like, that's why they come, and we're going to continue to offer the same type classes. But just, it was, that was what people were struggling with, was the business side. And so as a business owner, regardless what you're selling or what your business is, it's your job to try to meet the demand, right? Yep. And I think that's something that a lot of people have learned in 2020, was you have to pivot, because sometimes that demand changes, or what you think it is in your head is different than when you actually get into it and you're like, okay, wait a second, let's rethink this, let's change it up. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is working, you know? So I think that's really good.
Yeah. And real quick on that, I think the other part that I want to make sure people are aware of as they're listening into this is, when you're taking in that feedback, and a lot of times when we get feedback, especially in our business, right, because it's our baby, we go, oh, you know, we get defensive right away. And we're like, oh my gosh, this person's picking on my child here. And what we need to do is, we have to understand that we need to open up to that feedback. In fact, we want to invite as much feedback in as we can. A gentleman who's really well-versed in marketing, some people might be familiar with him, his name's Jay Baer. He talks about the fact that you need to try to get more feedback, as far as more negative comments, that they went out and tried to find, because that's the stuff you don't know about that's happening out there, right? Is and then listening to that feedback. It doesn't mean you have to do everything that every customer says. It means, like you did, you need to kind of open yourself up, listen to that, take it in as constructive feedback, and then decide, okay, what do I need to take action on? And then the key there is then that you took action. Yeah. And
see,
honestly, that's why we want to be part of this. So
yeah, and see if there's multiple people with the same thought.
Exactly.
And not that it's necessarily negative or anything, it's just constructive criticism. I mean, there's always someone that's negative just to be negative.
Sure.
So you can sometimes you can filter that out. But if you're just looking as a whole, like, okay, I see the need for this because it was asked for. Do other people feel the same way? And if you see that, then you're like, okay, let's figure this out. What can we do better?
Yeah. And it's okay to ask for it. So I think sometimes sometimes people will come at you with negative because they're mad about something, right? Yeah. But if you ask for, like, tell me what you liked and what you didn't like, that will automatically filter some of those I'm just angry comments out, right? Then they're coming at you with true constructive criticism because you asked, they know you care, and therefore they want to tell you what they need so that you can do better, right? And they're telling, like, seriously, they care. That's something we found with Love That Cotton. People sometimes, like, I have to, like, not gonna lie, be completely honest here, I have to, like, amp myself up and be like, okay, today I'm going to ask people, like, how that went, what did you like? And because I have, like you said, it's my baby, so I have to be like, okay, there, someone's gonna say something they didn't like. Most of the time, though, when I get that feedback, even though it's negative, I guess, when I get it, it's delivered in a way that I can handle, and then I can ponder and figure out a way to make it better. And so in the long run, it's been good, at least in my experience.
And that's not uncommon. I mean, I'm right there with you. We kind of got to get amped up, or for me, it's kind of overcoming the fear of, oh my gosh, they're not going to like this thing that I've worked so hard on, you know, and that kind of thing. And so, like I said, asking for that feedback, that automatically puts you in that place where, like you said, people know that you care about them enough to ask for feedback, and then being open to that feedback, you know, instead of, arguing with every bit of feedback. You take it in, just be grateful for the feedback. And then, like you said, ponder, chew on it, figure out, okay, is there something, some bit of truth, even in the angry ones, you know, even in the just negative people ones? Yes, they stick out like a sore thumb. And for the most part, you just let them wash off your back. But is there a little nugget of something in there that I could take from that would make my business a little bit better? And I think that can be hugely valuable. And then if you guys don't mind, I'll give one quick tip here that I think is great for getting feedback. Make it really super simple. One of the problems that a lot of people have when they're asking for feedback is they go, hey, can you give me some feedback? And then they ask like 30 questions and the person's going, I don't have an hour to answer all this stuff, right? And I'd love to give you feedback, but that's overwhelming to me. So I always ask one question and then one follow-up question. It's whatever the thing you're asking for feedback on, ask them to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Everybody's familiar with that, right? So that's easy. I can rate on a scale of 10. You're going to get a lot of 7s probably if it's kind of in the middle of the road, maybe some 8s or 9s, 10s, hopefully. So ask them to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. And then the follow-up question is, if this was not a 10, what could I have done to have earned a 10? Because that changes the whole dynamic of the feedback. Now they feel like they're actually helping you because they're going to provide you with something. And as humans, we love to help other humans. I know it doesn't always feel like that all the time, but deep down, that's a human nature thing. Yeah. So when you change that, ask for feedback into that kind of a question, okay, scale of 1 to 10, if not a 10, what could I do to get a 10? I've gotten the best feedback out of that kind of an ask.
Right. To the person being asked, it doesn't feel like I'm criticizing you, I'm helping you. And like you said, it's only one small area. So they're not feeling overwhelmed. They're more likely to just jump in and just answer the question.
Yeah. I agree. That's huge. Because even like, you know, we get bombarded with surveys and tell us how we did and all this stuff. There's been times that I'm like, okay, I'll do it. That's fine. And then it's like, 30 questions. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. 1 to 2 questions and something that they can feel like they're helping. I totally agree with that.
And then I think on top of that too, don't wait, right? For example, if we get a new product in and someone, like one person tells me this is not, or, you know, like maybe I don't like the fabric of this for whatever reason. So then I have either a handful of people that I trust to actually give me the feedback that I'll reach out immediately to them, or we put it on our Facebook group to our customers that I know are ordering. And I say that exact thing, like, tell me what you think about this, or, you know, every season, like, what didn't you like? So yeah. I think that's really good.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I love that idea too, because you're involving your customers in your business, you know, and people love that too. I mean, that's what the social media thing's all about. It's about interacting and connecting. It's not about selling or, you know, here's my latest order. It's about how do you connect with them so they feel like they're part of the process, and then they're going to be more loyal long-term customers.
Yeah. And loyalty is big. People want to buy from people that they know and trust. And for someone like me who has like a fear of public speaking, getting in front of a bunch of people can be difficult. But if you don't look at it like that, you look at it like, these are my customers, these are my friends, these are people who I care about, then you want to have that relationship with, and they want to have a relationship with you. And now they're going to tell their friends about your company, right? And so I think it's a win-win.
Yeah.
So yes.
Even just the personal relationship and business with your customer, that keeps them coming back. Yeah. Like that, not only, I mean, I'm just piggybacking off of what you said, like keeping that relationship, asking for feedback, asking that to, you know, I know it's not all your customers, but you create a relationship with them and they give it back. And it also makes it, I mean, I believe it makes it harder for them to go somewhere else when they know that they have this relationship with you. They can come to you and say, hey, this didn't really work for me on that order, or this new sample that you got, it, you know, I wasn't crazy about the fabric or whatever. And they know that you're going to take that feedback and work on it. I mean, I just think it all builds on each other randomly.
And Hope, I agree with you 100% on all that. And you talked about, you know, it's not going to be all the customers, but see, here's the thing I love about being in business is that the ones that you have the relationship with, those are the ones that you're building your business around. The other people that just kind of show up and buy, that's just the bonus stuff.
Right.
You know, the people that you have the relationship, that's the ones that you should be focusing on. That's the ones you should be designing your business around and that kind of thing. So I love that you guys share about the relationships that you have with customers. You know, we think, you know, business, consumer, all this, we're all just people here, right? And we just happen to be doing some commerce together, but that doesn't mean that we can care about them any more or less than anybody else in our lives. So if we treated everybody in a great way and had a great relationship with everybody, just imagine how great our lives would be. And there's no reason your customers or your vendors or anybody else should be any different when it comes to that.
That relationship is my very favorite part of business, period, across the board. That's why, as a length company, that we went to trade shows, because I wanted to have that relationship. That's why we purchased the trade show, was because I wanted to continue that relationship. And I think that it is super important that you try and be yourself in your business and let your personality show, because I think all too much people will say, oh, I can't do that because this is my business. But like in real life, if you were with your family or something, you would do it different. At least for me, I try to be that same person. And I think that's a good way to be authentic and enjoy and continue to enjoy what you do every day if you're able to be your complete self, right?
100%. Yeah. And you guys, I mean, it just comes through in what you do and how you share. Like I mentioned earlier, before we were on the podcast here, I've listened to a couple of your podcasts and it just comes out, right? It is about that relationships. And that's really cool.
And then it's fun to meet new people like you guys. I'm so excited. I haven't yet met your wife, but I've heard such good things. And because of relationships that we have with vendors and other people, that's how I heard about you guys. Nice. And then, you know, you are able to meet new people and grow that way as well. And so I'm super excited about that. You guys are local-ish to Chattanooga, huh? How far are you guys?
We're just outside of St. Louis, Missouri. So it's not terrible. We go over that way every once in a while. So we're excited to go. I've actually never been to Chattanooga itself, though. I think we may have stayed there coming back from somewhere at one point, but never actually spent any time there. So I'm looking forward to it.
So I haven't been either. That was one of the Everything Embroidery Markets that Love That Cotton didn't make it to. I can't honestly remember why at this point, but we have done all kinds of research about the area and I'm so excited because our EM friends, they are like just bombarding us, not in a good way of, you know, there's this place to eat and this thing to do. And I just can't wait to go. I just can't, like, more even the show. Yes. But like just to be there, and it's beautiful.
I've never been, but I went to camp in North Carolina, just on the border near Asheville. And it's the same topography. And I can only imagine it's absolutely beautiful. And I am excited to go. I'm excited. This will be my first show. So I'm excited about all of the show things, but I'm excited to see a little bit of Chattanooga while we're there.
There you go. I am too. I'm gonna have to get plugged more into this community so I can find out about all these cool things going on that you guys are getting feedback on.
Yeah, so we're posting some things about other, you know, places to eat, places to visit. It's on our Facebook page, Everything Embroidery Market. Cool. Yep, and we'll continue to make sure that we're posting that, because I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm personally bringing my kids along, so you'll get to meet the whole family.
Yes.
only the older ones will probably be at the show, but the other ones will be with Daddy doing some of the fun cool things, and I'm excited about that. Now, I know you do your own groups, your own workshops and whatnot through your success group. And I also know that you teach at other trade shows. How often are you at trade shows versus your own business?
Yeah. So it's varied a little bit. Obviously, starting in the middle of COVID, a lot of this, you know, I've stared at this camera for so many hours. It's kind of sucky sometimes, but hey, you know, it's part of the gig. But it does vary a little bit. I used to teach quite a bit with some of the bigger more traditional trade shows that maybe the industry like, you know, would have thought about as a screen printer or somebody like that. And while I love doing those shows, I just felt like it was time to change it up a little bit. Been doing that quite a bit. So let some new fresh blood in there and kind of get to some different avenues. So this year in 2022, gosh, I can't believe I'm saying 2022 right now. My goal is to get out there a bit more. Obviously really excited about coming to your guys' event. I've got a few other things. And then I also get to be part of something for me personally, it's still industry related, but there's an organization called Skills USA. And it's basically high school age kids and a little bit of post-secondary, but mainly high school age kids where they're working on a trade. So the Skills USA covers a wide range of things from HVAC to engine repair to hair and nails to video stuff. But our industry, we've got a couple of competitions inside Skills USA. One is screen printing. The other one's sublimation. And so I've been a judge for that competition for the last 6-7 years, maybe. And this year they asked me to be the technical chair for the national competition. So that's happening in June in Atlanta, Georgia. And so it's not necessarily a trade show. It is open to the public to come in and check it out and watch these kids compete. They're going to make stuff and they have to do it in a certain process. And there's it's just a really cool way for me, I think, to give back to the industry. I've been lucky to be involved with it for a while now. And it's so cool to watch these young people just get excited to do what we get to do every day, you know, whether it's embroidery or, you know, sublimation in this case and that kind of thing. So that's happening. And then I also get to participate in a program called Start Here Academy for hobby to business type folks as well. So I'm just trying to get out there in the community and be able to see people face to face again is really exciting to me.
Yeah, super exciting. And I love that you are giving back to the younger generation. We talked about that a little bit in one of the podcasts previously. And I think that's so big. Actually, I'd love to learn how to get involved in that too. Just something to make sure that this industry continues to grow and thrive as we move forward. I see my kiddos and the excitement sometimes that they get when they make things. And not everyone gets to do that. So, you know, it takes people to continue teaching, I guess.
No, it totally is fun. And I know on the podcast side, people won't see this, but I've got this hat. It's just a little patch on a hat here for those that can't see it. But I'm not a hat person. I very rarely wear a hat, but this hat is like really special to me. It was made by a 10-year-old that's involved in the industry. And he was he gets involved in some of our podcasts we do with two regular guys and stuff like that. His dad's real involved in the world out there. His group's called the Embroidery Nerds. So that sensation, like you said, the younger people watching them get excited about this, you know, people kind of ask me like, well, why do you spend so much time and your own money and all that stuff doing that? And I've always just kind of said, because this is how it goes. This is how it evolves. This is our industry is not going to be healthy if we're not continuing to bring young people into this to continue to push us forward, you know, because there was a time, unfortunately, I've been in this a long time. So I am one of these industry veterans now, but there was a time where everybody kept everything so close to the vest and it was just like, oh, the old good old boys club or whatever. And so seeing that break down has been really cool and watching people come in and make a living off of being able to be so creative and have so much fun doing what we get to do each day.
Yes. And I think that, you know, everyone's different, right? We're all wired a little bit different. And you have some kids who want to be creative, but maybe think that isn't necessarily an option, right? They think that they have to do what, I don't know, society or whatever makes them feel that they have to do. And just to present this as an option that you can be creative and support your family and yourself if you work hard, you know? So I think that's a really cool thing. And I will. 2022, I'm proclaiming it now. I'm going to get involved. So
nice. Nice. I'll reach out. I need the help.
I want to help. And so I'm curious, as you're saying that you're doing sublimation and I guess whatnot for this, what is your favorite part of the industry?
another story. I apologize, but that's what you're going to get out of me. So you signed up for it. You asked me to be here. So embroidery is so interesting to me. I love the idea of it, and I've been around it for a very long time, but normally I was standing at a trade show next to somebody that had an embroidery machine running over there, and I was going, you know, this chattering. So I've actually not done a whole lot with embroidery. My claim to fame when it comes to embroidery is I know people. This is really cool about embroideries. I get to be a little bit closer to it. I'm learning more and more about it each day. I've actually run an embroidery machine for about 15 minutes. So I did it at another show. Somebody actually filmed me doing it. It was this big, crazy thing. I pushed the button and it started doing this. So that's the extent of my embroidery knowledge. So I love it. But the real thing for me is sublimation has always been such a cool process to me. I just love the full color and all the different substrates. And, you know, so I've got all sorts of sublimated things all over the place. I love my sublimated socks. I'll have my sublimated socks on. That's kind of my thing. And, you know, the tumblers, all that kind of stuff. So if I had to pick one, if I had to pick a favorite, it would be sublimation.
Do you still do it? Or are you just a consumer at this point?
So my wife does fulfillment. And so I help her with it. I don't do a whole lot of it myself. It's just her and I when it comes to that. So I guess I do plenty of it, but she's the real workhorse when it comes to actually doing sublimation on a day-to-day basis. But I've got all the equipment, so, you know, I'll make stuff when I need to. But no, I'm mainly more of a consumer of it now. Yes. Personally.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about what her business is? Because you guys have two separate. Yes.
Yeah. So we do a ton of things together and we really are partners in everything. So we talk about it being different, but more of it, it's she runs that side where, so like somebody asked me a question about it, I go, yeah, you got to talk to her. And that's really most things, but that's a whole different story. So her business, she's got a wholesale fulfillment company called Montco.biz. And she picks partners that she wants to work with that are looking for just to have that manufacturing side. She made something, I can't remember the exact number, but about 5,000 3-inch round ceramic ornaments this year for a company. And so she doesn't have a ton of clients. She's not looking for a ton of clients. She's just looking for the right partners that make sense where she can help them, they can help her, and it works out. So she does that. Like I said, she's also a yoga instructor and then a success principles trainer. So she's got that going on. And she's always had this kind of interest in, she doesn't do a lot of it, but she's got her own retail kind of side of things where she does some products, kind of positivity themed shirts and things like that, that she calls WeHeart.biz. So yes. You guys will meet her soon enough. So
I was actually on her site and I love the positive sayings attitude. I think that sometimes people start thinking the negative and that can really just bring you down, right?
Yeah.
Positivity breeds positivity.
It 100% does. Yeah. And she's been really great with me with that. You know, I've always had this knack to find the problem. I'm just kind of a solution oriented type person. So it's always about finding that problem. And she reminds me that, you know what, sometimes just be positive and just be grateful and move forward. And it's been huge for me. And so she's taught me a ton when it comes to that. So definitely that yin and yang thing, like you guys mentioned earlier, we're really lucky.
Yeah. No, my husband's the fixer too.
I think that's a lot of men in relationships. Like when you're venting, it's like, okay, well, let me fix the problem. It's like, no, I just want to let it out. My husband does the same thing.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right, Hope. We'll learn one day, maybe, but probably not. So
I think it's just the way we're wired.
Yeah.
But also it's a good thing, right? I know that when I have those conversations that it's like, he will help me come up with a solution. And then I just have to tell him if I don't need the solution, I just need to say it.
Good advice.
Oh man. Okay. So going into the new year, today is the 3rd. This probably won't come out for a couple of weeks now, but we're brand new into 2022. What can we expect to see from you? Obviously, you're going to be at Everything Embroidery Market in Chattanooga, but do you have any big plans for the year? Any, I don't know.
Goals?
I hate to say resolutions, but goals.
Yeah, no, totally. Goals is definitely a big part of what we do with Success Principles. We help people kind of set goals and get real specific because there is a formula when it comes to goal setting. And I didn't realize this, you know, I, for a long time, just had a whole bunch of wishes and dreams, which is great. But for some reason, they never happened, right? And so when we set a goal in a certain way, we're able to actually make these things occur for us. You know, maybe it doesn't happen exactly how we thought, but more often than not, things actually end up happening when we set a goal in the right way. A real quick tip on that is just to make sure you know how much and by when. So you have that part and that makes it a goal. And some people talk about SMART goals and get in a little deeper, but I'd like to simplify it down to how much and by when. So to answer the question, finally, my big goal, a couple big goals this year, but the one that I'll share here is my goal is to complete my book that I've been working on. So I'm writing a book called The Fundamentals of Business Success, and it's a somewhat of a translation of the Success Principles, but mapping it out. So the Success Principles are kind of used more agnostically across, you know, life coaching, business coaching, different areas, youth to older people, all that kind of stuff. And so I've been kind of immersed in the Success Principles here for the last 2.5-3 years. And as I've taken all that in, I've just kind of made it my own. And so I've got my own system, setting goals and moving on into taking action and stuff like that. So I want to put that in a book. So that's what's happening this year. So by the end of the year, that book will be published and out there to the world. I've got some other workshops and stuff that we're working on, but we'll leave it at the book for right now. And then come see me at the Everything in Embroidery Market, and I'll tell you about the other workshops. How about that?
Sounds perfect. I like that what you said about the goals and all that. I just read Atomic Habits by James Clear, awesome. And how he explains your habits going into goals and all of that. It just, it's right on track and
totally.
Making those dreams and wishes become something attainable. And yeah, all of that is on the same line. And I highly suggest reading that book as well.
I agree. That's one of my second favorite book, The Success Principles, number one, Atomic Habits, number two. In fact, I was writing out, kind of mapping out the quarters of 2022. And the second quarter, I want to take Atomic Habits and actually figure out a way to implement it into my world a little bit more to better understand it. I've read it a couple times, but I just feel like I'm missing parts of it. So
I feel like you could reread it several, you could just keep rereading it and hear a different part every time. Like I liked how he had spoken about, if you want something to become a habit, make it extremely small.
Yep.
Like 2 minutes of writing every day, like to finish a book. And because that's what he said he had to do. So he wrote 2 minutes every day, and it didn't matter if it was dumb, it was, or if it was the greatest, you know, sentence he ever wrote. He said just starting it was like creating the habit for 2 minutes, started it, and then eventually awesome. Finished his book.
Yep. There you go. It's that easy, right? You know,
and just like that, 2 minutes a day.
Yeah. That's a great book. Sign up for his emails too. If you haven't done that. Okay, good. Cause those are really valuable too. You get little nuggets all the time.
I feel like I need to proclaim what our goal is.
Yes, please.
For us, while we're on the subject, my goal is just to have a year of organization. And now I know that's very broad, but we are trying to break it down by business, by area, by month. And this will be the year of organization. So I'm excited.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect goal. I love it. Cool. Congrats. Yeah,
that's great.
Hope, what about you?
Well, so we work together and it is the year of organization. We've been talking the week between Christmas and New Year's. It was, how are we going to start this year off right and organized? And so we've been together working towards how to set that up through the different companies and, you know, across the board. How are we going to be more organized and keep it up? And so there's smaller goals and bigger goals and working on habits. And we'll definitely have to look into the five things daily, because I think that sounds awesome. So we'll have to look into that more.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Just let me know. I'm happy to share with you. Yeah, I probably got a podcast out there somewhere on it.
Send it. We can tag it on here or
awesome. Yes. Post it. I will share that. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, we're excited, and I'm super, super pumped that you guys are going to be at Everything Embroidery Market. So if you guys are even thinking about coming for business, for hobby or whatnot, you guys are going to be teaching 5 different classes, each covering something slightly different. So go ahead to everythingembroiderymarket.com. Under class descriptions, you'll be able to see what each one of those classes are and sign up, because we will sell out of classroom spots. It is limited. So go ahead. Go over there. We're excited to see you. We want to help you guys grow your business. Aaron is going to share his knowledge and hopefully get you guys pumped up and ready so that you can grow your business. And even some of these things can be translated into personal life and hobby as well. So it's not just business related. So everythingembroiderymarket.com. Go to mysuccessgroup.com as well. That's where they can find you, right?
Yeah, it's actually our success group.
Our success group. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine. No problem. Oursuccessgroup.com is where you can find it. And actually, if people wanted to put a -EEM at the end of that, I'll be sharing that at the classes too. But for anybody listening, go there. And I've got some free resources and some goodies and stuff like that I'm happy to share with your community here. So if you go to oursuccessgroup.com/EEM, that will allow you to kind of register for those goodies there. I've got a Finding Your Why guide and some other tools that people have found very useful. So,
yeah. And so we're super excited. We'll end there, but I just come on over, guys. Like, don't be afraid. Make your first step to having a good year and starting things off right and making some changes for the better. So we're super excited.